Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well and you're coping with the cold. It was only last week that I was going on about how amazing it is now that spring has come and it's so warm. And we've had snow, actually had snow. What the hell is that even about? April. Actually, I do remember years and years ago when my kids were little, and I've got this great picture of them at Easter time with the two little boys literally knee deep in snow holding Easter eggs. So, yeah, clearly it's happened before. It's not that unusual, is it? It just feels like it. Anyways, good thing I didn't put the warm clothes away. So what did I want to share with you? It's been an interesting week in the Sober Club again in our group. And there's been everyone's at such different stages. And that's actually the beauty of it all, really, that, you know, we've got people who are on day one and then people who've been sober for years and years. And there's always a different challenge, isn't there? There's always something else to unravel and unwrap. And that's what's so amazing about this journey. And it's almost like you can't really get started on living your life properly until you've got rid of the booze. You know, if it's a thing for you, that really is it. I had a lovely week. I had a few days in Brighton, working again with the guy, Carl Dawson. I interviewed Carl on the podcast. I'm sure you remember. It was a fantastic interview. Well, he was great. If you haven't heard it yet, go back and have a listen about matrix re-imprinting, which is something I'm trained in. I trained with Carl. And it is the most fantastic kind of modality to work with, because we're looking at past memories and we're looking at what shaped us. And that, you know, that sort of sentence that is so, so important really came back to be underlined for me this week about, you know, it's not what happened to you that counts, because we've all had stuff. And you know, I know we tend to sort of grade our traumas, don't we? And of course, some people have had massive traumas and really awful things happen in their lives. And others haven't, but they've still had a series of little traumas. And it really doesn't make any difference. I'm not saying, I welcome any of them. But, you know, just once we're into adulthood, once we get to become aware and be able to be conscious, and you know, our unconscious mind starts to give us a few clues. Okay, let's look at this now. Let's deal with this now. And once you get to that stage, it's not about what happened to you. It's about what you made it mean for you. What beliefs did you create? What limiting blocks did you put on yourself because of what you made something mean? If you had a sort of fight or flight or freeze moment at that point of trauma, what did you make it mean? And it's just so fascinating when you start to uncover some of these gems. And of course, there's never only one, is there? There's always a lot of work to do. Obviously, all the time I'm doing this work, all the time I'm working with one-to-one clients, I'm always pointing a finger back at myself, because there's always more to be done, right? But anyways, you know, I think the really lovely thing is that connection is what matters. And I think whatever you're doing, whatever stage you're at, there will be someone else who's been through something similar, or has had some kind of experience that is not a million miles away. And just having that, just knowing that you're not the only one, just can make such a difference. We had a wonderful family constellations as well. It's been a week of working with energy now I think about it. Some incredible shifts at our family constellations. It really was the most amazing day. I'm always blown away by how this stuff works. It really is life-changing stuff. So I'm back on the topic of connection and just how important it is. So I think I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago that a couple of the lovely gals that trained with me for the Sober Coaches training are hosting a meetup in Edinburgh. On that note, by the way, if you were someone who was thinking about doing the Sober Coach training but just didn't quite get there, just didn't quite make it happen. We have got one space become available. So if that's got your name on it, then you need to message me and we'll have a conversation. I'm a really big believer that if it's meant to be, it'll just resonate. You might feel a bit nervous and wobbly, but when things are right, they just are. So I appreciate that. May not be anyone listening here, but just in case it is, message me if that's for you. It's 23rd, 24th is our two-day sort of retreat part, and then we do a whole bunch of online stuff. So send me a message. Anyways, on that same weekend when I'm doing my coach training, two of our accredited coaches are hosting our first Edinburgh meetup. So if you're in Scotland, I really hope you'll be able to go along to this. It's open to you. You don't have to be a Sober Club member. It's open to anyone. And it sounds like a really lovely event. It's 23rd of April. I think it's in the afternoon. I haven't got those details in front of me. But anyway, it's at a lovely venue called Santosa in Albert Street in Edinburgh. And it's been hosted by a couple of our coaches. And the reason I'm telling you all of this, apart from to mention the event, which you can find by going to thesoberclub.com/events, is to share with you what one of the coaches who's hosting this posted on our group. I hope she won't mind me sharing a tiny bit of it. I just thought it summed up so brilliantly how so many of us feel when we are new to something, whatever it is, a behaviour change, quitting booze, just changing your life, just doing something different. And I'm just going to read a little bit of this because I think this could have also been me under different circumstances. So she says, we train together. We're proud to be accredited Sober Club coaches. Why are we passionate? Well, let me tell you about why I am. I've had so many day ones. I can't even remember how many. When I was attempting to ditch the booze, I was crippled by anxiety, fear, and I knew I had to do something. I'd been listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast and I heard Janie talk about the Sober Club. So I thought, I can't do this on my own. I'm going to take a risk and join. I was so nervous. I remember writing my very first post introducing myself in the private group. My stomach churned with the memory. I'd never posted on Facebook before. I might hit the wrong button and write it on my personal Facebook page for all to read, but I didn't want to tell anyone. I felt ashamed, embarrassed, petrified, but something made me feel if I don't do it now, I never will. So I did post and then I hid under my desk. And she carries on. You know what happened next? There was a waterfall of welcome comments, an amount of likes I'd never seen in my life. The comments were lovely, warm and welcoming, non-judgmental, and basically they sounded relatable. And I remember thinking, oh my God, I'm not actually a weirdo. I'm not alone. These people do get it. And then I immersed myself in the online course and the Quitlet and found that Janie was hosting a retreat at the end of January. My husband was fully supportive and encouraged me to go. I live in Scotland and it was near London. So again, my fears went off the scale with excuses of why I shouldn't go. I told my husband we couldn't afford it. It was too extravagant to spend money on me. He told me I couldn't afford not to go because he knew that I needed the support. And the day I arrived at the retreat, I was a wreck with anxiety. I've travelled all this way and I don't know a single person. What the hell am I going to do? I won't fit in. People won't talk to me. I'll be awkward. Don't let them ask me to speak out loud. And then she says, that was the polite chatter that I can print here, but my negative inner critic was shouting far worse. Maybe I could just hide in my room, I told myself. I rang the doorbell. Janie answered with open arms, a huge smile, obviously delighted to see me. I'd never met her before. Everyone was lovely and the fear eased. Why? We were all the same. We all wanted to ditch the booze or we wanted a better life. Some were sober curious. No one judged. Everyone listened, shared. But most of all, we connected. I've made friends for life in the Sober Club. It gives us the space where we're at our most vulnerable. We share and don't judge and support and love. If you're reading this and thinking, I'd love to connect and come to the Edinburgh meetup, but I'm a bit too scared or embarrassed. What if I don't fit in? What if I haven't told anyone yet? We'll meet you and make it okay. And she carries on and says, it's a long post, and says, it's all brand new for me. If anyone had told me on day one that in 2 years, 3 months and 6 days, I'd be writing a post as an accredited Sober Club coach, inviting others to join me at a meetup that I was organising with another coach, they'd have said there's no way they know what they're talking about. I'd never be able to do that. But I did. And here I am. So she concludes by saying, seriously, connection is the most important tool in my sober toolkit. So treat yourself. So there you go. That's a lovely introduction, isn't it, to the Edinburgh meetup. So I hope if you're in that area, you'll check it out. Go to thesoberclub.com and click on events. We've also got a Sober by the Sea, if you are in the South, in Southend on May the 7th, which is all about creating a vision board, whatever you want for your life. So it, as with any of these events, it really does not matter what stage you're at. It doesn't matter at all. You might have been sober for 5 years and you want to meet other people, or perhaps you just want to focus on something new, or maybe you're not even sure if you really want to ditch the booze yet. I get that a lot, you know, and I remember I used to be exactly like that. If you'd have said to me, do you want to stop drinking? I said, of course I don't want to stop drinking. I want it to stop affecting me is what I want. You know, I want to be able to drink like, in inverted commas, normal people. But of course, you know, over time you realise that why would you want that? Why would you ever want that poison? You know, it really does change. And, you know, that's my raison d'etre in life, trying to dangle that little carrot for you, trying to get you to just catch sight of what you maybe can't see yet. And we sometimes use that phrase, fake it till you make it, you know, just act as if. But actually, Carl Dawson over the last few days reminded me again of a much better phrase than that, which is create it till you make it. Create it. Actually, create it as you go along. Maybe you do feel uncomfortable because you've got all these emotions that you're not used to dealing with. Well, find another way. Just be creative, literally, and find another way to scratch the itch just for a short time. Because once you get over those initial urges, it gets easier. And that's where you just have to trust, because there's so many of us now telling you that you just got to trust. A few dates for the diary then, and message me if you were interested in that one place on the Sober Coach training. You know where to find me. And while we're talking about the Sober Club and amazing connection, I thought it'd be really lovely to have a chat to one of our members. It's so great to share different stories, and people are all at different stages. So I thought I'd invite Zoe to share her story. I'm so pleased that my guest is Sober Club member Zoe Godfrey. Zoe, you are such an inspiration lately. This running stuff, oh man, sobriety suits you. Yeah.
Yeah, I never thought I'd be doing that, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk more about that later, but I thought it'd be really lovely just to hear a bit about your story, because obviously you're a member of the club and, you know, I've got to know you a little bit, but I don't think I've ever really asked you what was going on, you know, way back. So take us back in time and tell us what, you know, life was like for you back in the drinking days.
Yeah. So, yeah, I had a pretty good drinking career, I'd say. I started in my teens, like everyone does, you know, let's give it a go. Let's get drinking with your peers. And it really, yeah, I really enjoyed it because it took away a lot of that kind of confidence issues that you have when you're younger. And that always made me feel more confident to have a drink. And I think that's something that kind of led me through to always be drinking. You know, you'd have a drink to celebrate, you'd have a drink to commiserate. And apart from a couple of pregnancies, I wouldn't dream of not having a glass of wine if I went out.
Yeah. What kind of work did you do? Was drinking involved in the workplace too?
So I worked in events
you certainly did then.
Yeah, for the biotech and pharma industry. Mm. So I would run events for them. Networking meetings and conferences, and yeah, alcohol always played a part in that. You'd always have to make sure you had your red wine and your white wine, you know, and a few orange juices, you know, just in case there was any long drinkers.
Yeah, just for the boring people. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So
right. And when did it, you know, you say it started in the teens, and I think you're right, you know, it's that kind of rite of passage thing almost. It's the expected thing, and it's often the thing that we think will help us with confidence. But when did it really sort of, when did you feel as though it ramped up for you, if it did?
Yeah, I think after I had my children, and you can't go out as much, and then you start drinking at home.
Yeah.
And then you start drinking when you're cooking the tea.
Yeah.
You know, because you're tired at the end of the day and you think it's going to give you a bit of a boost. And I would always, in the end, I would always pour a glass of wine at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because I'd start cooking then. And then I might have another one. And then I might have another one with my meal. You know, and it just ramped up. And I remember thinking when I sort of hit my 40s, I remember starting to think about my health a bit more.
Yeah.
And I realized that it wasn't very healthy. It wasn't making me feel great. And it kind of made me really think about what I was doing. But up until then, I'd always be the one that would not take one bottle of wine. I'd take two bottles of wine if I was going to someone's house, or, you know, I was kind of getting known as the drinker.
Mm.
And I didn't like that either.
I mean, presumably you were sort of functioning just fine. So, you know, seemingly okay, you know, you didn't need to take time off work or any of that stuff. So you were that kind of classic grey area drinker. You know, everyone else probably thought everything was just completely fine. But I'm guessing there were a few sort of, you know, if you're anything like me, a few wee small hours when you were sort of questioning yourself eventually.
Yeah. And just generally feeling under par.
Yeah.
Just not really, you know, yes, functioning, managing to do everything that needs to be done with the kids and with work and with at home. But yeah, I was under par, I would say. And I kind of just, I knew I was drinking too much. I knew it was on my mind too much.
Yeah,
we'll take the kids to the pub, but yeah, we'll go to the pub on the way back.
Plan a drink,
you know, we'll take some Prosecco to the beach with us. And it was just like, can't believe it now, really. Can't believe that I've managed to stop that.
Mm.
And B, how it sort of just takes over. It just sort of ekes into your life. I think
really interesting you say that, you know, it ramped up when you had kids. I mean, it was the same for me. And I think that anyone listening who's got, you know, young children, we know about that sort of mummy wine culture thing. It's so insidious. It's so much part of that life. And then, as you say, you're at home, so you're drinking more and pouring as you're cooking. And yeah, it's all so, so relatable, I think, for so many people. And I'm guessing that you, like me, didn't realize that this was a thing, as it were. You probably, like me, you figured that you weren't at rock bottom, so, you know, you weren't going to be going to an AA meeting anytime soon or going to the GP for rehabilitation. And I mean, did you feel the way I did, which was that you felt like probably you were the only person that had this going on?
Yeah, I wondered, it didn't seem like it was a problem for other people.
Yeah.
And in my mind, you know, not outwardly, but in my mind, I kind of thought, this is getting a bit of a problem. You know, yeah, I'll not drink for 3 nights, but then I'll really look forward to Friday night because I know I can drink then. And I used to think, oh, let's have 3 days of no drinking because my liver will repair then. You know, absolute rubbish. So I kind of, it was on my mind, and I felt bored with life.
Yeah.
You know, in the end, I was kind of like, oh, I'm just bored of life. You know, and I remember thinking, is this it? Is this it now? You know? Mm. And then Sober October came up, and I knew I wanted to do it because I knew if people sponsored me that I would be able to do it, because I hate letting people down.
Right. So you did it as a kind of a challenge for yourself, really.
Yeah, I did. And I remember I was with a friend at the time and I was talking about it. So I'm thinking of doing Sober October. And she just flicked a tenner at me and said, go on then, that's your first sponsor.
Great.
And that really, that was it. That triggered it then.
Yeah. And how long ago was that then, Zoe?
So that was, let me think. So that was October 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, so I didn't drink then for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then lockdown happened and it was all very stressful and we didn't know what was going to happen with the business, and because my husband runs a business, and we were all a bit all over the place then, and I started drinking again.
Yeah.
And when I started drinking again, we were kind of we went on holiday. We managed to get a holiday in between the lockdowns, And I was drinking. I remember thinking, I was on holiday, it was really hot, and I just felt rubbish. I was getting those night sweats, and it was hot anyway. And I just thought, what am I doing? You know, I felt so good in those 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah,
it wasn't easy to start with. To start with, it was really, I mean, I was sponsored. So the first 30 days of October, I was really like, look, just don't pour it, Zoe. Just do not pour that glass of wine.
You kind of kept going on willpower and resolve because of the challenge, as it were.
Yeah, I did. And then I found when you're on those Sober Octobers, they do send you some links and it kind of leads you through to other things like social media does. And that's how I found the Sober Club.
Right.
And from there, and doing the Sober Club course, and really having to describe and write down why you wanted to give up.
This is my Get the Buzz Without the Booze course. Yeah, I asked you to talk about your why, because your why is so important. But I also asked you to talk about why don't you want to do it, right? And that's when you have to kind of admit that, you know, what you perceive as the downside, because there nearly always does feel as though there's a downside, doesn't there, at the beginning, whether it's not being able to socialize or missing out or not being the fun, confident person. Our perception is always that something, some aspect of our life won't be as good, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah, I think you worry. Yeah, definitely worry whether you're going to be able to have a good time without drinking.
You know,
because you've always done that. Whenever you've gone out and had a good time, you've been drinking.
Yeah. And, you know, you described that lockdown experience. I think it's a very common one for a lot of people, that they kind of, you know, they stopped drinking, they were doing well, and then they get to the point where they get a, you know, there's overwhelm, there's anxiety, there's stress, there's stuff they hadn't bargained for. And then the little voice creeps in saying, well, you know, obviously you haven't got a problem, so, you know, you can go back to moderating now. And you know, we all go through that ridiculous phase where we think we can moderate. And ultimately it's that we've still got in our mind, we still are looking at the alcohol with the rose-colored specs. You know, we still somewhere at an unconscious level, we still think that alcohol's the answer. So when you actually properly did this, then how long have you been sort of sober for, you know, with the longest stretch, as it were?
So this time it's been just over 18 months.
Wow, brilliant.
So it's brilliant. Actually, today it's 555 days.
How brilliant.
So that's just over 18 months.
And so how different was it then when you kind of, you did that course and you kind of got into your second bout and you decided it was going to be different this time? What felt different for you?
I think because I knew how good I felt.
Yeah.
Once I got over those initial 30 days, which were hard, I'm not going to lie. After that time, you kind of think, yeah, I'll get to 60 days. Yeah, I'll get to 90 days. And then it's funny, something just clicks. It's a bit like, I keep saying, it reminds me of when I learned to tell the time when I was a little girl. All of a sudden, something just clicked.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I can tell the time now. And it was a little bit like, yeah, I know what's good for me now. And I know I don't need it. I know I can still have a great time with my friends. I know I can still relax, you know, without having alcohol.
Yeah. How did your friends and your family react? And you know, what were the difficulties early on that you had to kind of face?
My husband was really supportive. I think he'd had enough of me drinking, really. I mean, he still drinks, but it doesn't bother me because this is my thing.
It's not his thing. This is my thing.
This is for me.
Yeah.
And I don't expect anyone to stop drinking that's around me. That's totally up to them. But friends are really great, actually. I think because of lockdown as well, you just weren't doing so much. You weren't seeing so many people. So it's perfect. And I've just got to that stage after stopping, then going back to it and then starting again, just made me realize that, yeah, this is what makes me feel really good.
Yeah.
It's funny. You're with your friends. I mean, some friends will really apologise for ordering a glass of wine, and it's just like, look, you go ahead. That's fine by me. That's your thing. That's not my thing.
Yeah.
And my friends have been really good, actually.
Great.
I've still got a few tests. I've got a hen do coming up. And I know that's going to be a bit of a test.
Mm-hmm. But you've learnt my phrase, Zoe, keep the ritual, change the ingredients, haven't you?
Oh, yeah,
so you'll definitely be all right.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I have always been. I still get my wine glass out at 5 o'clock.
Yeah,
but I've just got something really nice and alcohol free in it. I've got a nice glass of naughty, or I've bought the three spirits drinks, and I love those with Perrier. Yeah, I'm really. I'm really kind of into my alcohol-free drinks. It's still nice to have a nice drink.
Yeah.
Or like you're being included.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about in terms of your, you know, how do you feel it's changed you as, you know, as a person and, or, you know, as a mum? How do you think it's affected your parenting, or how might it affect it in the future, do you think?
As a person, I feel like I've really grown. I'm in my mid-40s, but I feel like I've grown more in the last 2 years than I ever have personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I feel confident, and I just feel like I'm on the right path.
Yeah.
Whereas I used to feel a bit like, well, what am I doing? Where am I going? Am I just a mum? You know, what do I want in my life? And it's made me realise what I want to do.
Yeah.
And for parenting, I mean, one of my things, I've got one of these sober apps, and you pledge every day.
Yeah.
And I must admit, I don't pledge every day now, but in the early days, it's really nice to have something as a bit of a reminder and to take it day by day. And my kind of pledge is to set a good example to my boys.
Yeah.
And be more present. That's one of the things. Be more present.
And it really does make you more present, doesn't it? Oh my goodness.
God, you're really you've just got the time for them, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and you want to talk to them. You don't want to just get them to bed so you can have another glass of wine, or read them a story whilst having a glass of wine. You know, it's, you're just there for them.
Yeah.
And I also put in my pledge to have more energy and feel confident and in control and positive about life.
Well, you do come across as a fabulously positive person, and I love that. I love the fact that you share some lovely posts in the group and support others. I mean, how have you found that connection helpful?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I really love the Sober Club. I think it's just like-minded people. And I've got some really good friends, people that have started at their journey at the same time. And it's kind of like, oh yeah, I'm, you know, 60 days or I'm whatever. You just have a common interest. I think that really makes a difference, to just feel like there's other people that are doing it, because it can feel quite lonely. You can feel like, oh God, everyone around me is drinking, no one else will get it.
Yeah.
And you just, the topics and the kind of, it's not always about not drinking.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We delve into all kinds of stuff, don't we? I've taken you down all kinds of rabbit holes, haven't I, Zoe?
Things that I wouldn't even
like,
have thought of doing.
Bring it on. Angel cards? Okay, bring it on. Numerology? Okay, bring it on.
And what's going to be next? And I think that you are open to that. You're more open to that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's different for everyone, isn't it? But what is great is that once you ditch the booze, I think you become a bit more brave, you know, and a bit more kind of curious and open and just willing to try different things. So, which brings me on fabulously to your running. So tell us what the history of that is. Have you always been a runner and then you've stepped it up, or what's happened there?
I've always liked my fitness. I've always managed to do a couple of classes a week. And I just must say, even by doing a couple of classes a week when I was drinking, I wouldn't ever lose any weight, because then I'd just put all the sugar back in. So it was kind of like I'd go around in a circle of thinking, oh, I'll try and do some exercise. But really, it wasn't helping me while I was drinking at all. But I never really was a runner. But I always loved the thought of being able to run. You know, I used to think, oh, you know, wouldn't it be lovely if you could just run a decent distance? And then in lockdown, my sister started the Couch to 5K, and she said, oh, come on, do the couch to 5K, because then we can meet each other, because you could meet outside then and have a run, and then we go and get a coffee. And that was our reward afterwards. And we'd stand outside and have a coffee. So I started with the couch to 5K, but I am a bit of a all or nothing kind of girl. Hence with the drinking, you know, it wouldn't just be one glass of wine. It'd have to be, you know, half a bottle or more. So I once I hit 5K, I then went on to 10K, right? I think I can run 10K
wow.
now.
That is impressive.
And that just led me to think, come on, I wonder if I could do the marathon. So this half marathon has made me, I just thought, let's just see if I can do it first. Let's see how it feels to train for a half marathon and do a half marathon. And yes, I did that on Sunday.
Wow.
And I was really, honestly, that you wouldn't have thought that, that wouldn't have been me in the past. I mean, I can't believe it's me. I can't believe I'm Zoe Godfrey and I've ran half a marathon.
That is amazing. It really is amazing. You hear stuff like this all the time, don't you, when people ditch the booze. They do stuff that they can't believe it's them, you know, and of course it's different for everyone. It might be a creative writing course. It might be starting a business. It might be, you know, all kinds of things. But and I think that's what's lovely in the Sober Club as well, the way everyone cheers you on. You know, we've got such a team of cheerleaders. I mean, I'm just hugely impressed at that. It really is amazing. So apart from that, what other benefits have really made a difference? Have you noticed that have really made a difference for you?
Well, I don't want to say that you'll stop drinking and you'll instantly lose weight.
No, but, absolutely.
I mean, that doesn't happen. But I've lost 2 stone since I've been on this journey. And, it hasn't been difficult. And I haven't really tried that hard. But I just thought, if I'm not boozing, I want to be as healthy as I can be. Mm. It's kind of changed that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I do love a biscuit and I do love my cake. But you know, to lose that weight as well, just made me think I would never have lost that.
I guess it just makes you so much more aware of your own health and well-being. So you want to take care of yourself.
Yeah, you really think about what you're putting in. Yeah. And I think you do need to look after yourself initially as well. You know, those early months, you really need to have good nutrition, you know, make sure you drink enough water and all that, because then you don't feel like having a drink then.
Yeah.
You know, if you have, like you say, if you have a nice green juice, there's no way you then feel like putting something unhealthy into
Absolutely.
Your body.
Yeah. No one fancies a glass of wine after a dark green juice.
No. Or a nice bath. You know, who wants a glass of wine after having a nice bath and you're all clean? And it's funny. I mean, in the early days, I was really tired. That's one of the things that I put down. I used to go to bed so early and have a bath. And I remember I used to say to myself over and over, just don't pour it, Zoe. Just don't pour it into that glass.
Yeah.
It's weird, you know. But I remember the early days where you really need to just look after yourself. Do the self-care. Yeah, do the self-care, and then things just start happening without you even realizing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're kind of all of a sudden, you're losing weight and you don't even really realize, because you're concentrating on other things.
Yeah, and you start to be able to run long distances. Oh, but not in my case. But I did kind of hobble my way through 5K. I mean,
you're too
really.
Busy to do that. You've got
I'm just not a runner. I'm just not. I mean, that was a massive thing for me, because I, as you know, some Sober Club members at a Champney's retreat challenged me to do 5K because I was picking on everyone else to do stuff. So I had to do it. And I still am incredulous that I was able to do it. I'm incredulous.
Yeah.
So I am not a runner. I've never been a runner. And I still don't like running. It's not me. I don't enjoy it. But I did it, albeit very slowly. I did it. You know, I mean, I didn't carry on. That's the truth of it, because I just don't think it's for me. But nevertheless, I was able to achieve something. And you know, there are other things I do, of course. But it is amazing, isn't
it? Weird, isn't it? Because when you stop drinking, I don't know what it is. It's like a little magic power. But you do feel like whatever you put your mind to, because you've managed to stop drinking, I feel like now, whatever I put my mind to, I can do it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's about when you've really identified what it is you want I think you become brave enough and authentic enough to go after it. You know, I really do. This is why it's so life changing, isn't it? And talking of which as well, I'm super excited that you're going to do our sober coach training. So, I mean, how exciting is that? I mean, who'd have thought you probably wouldn't have imagined yourself doing that either.
Never. No, I would never have thought of doing that. I mean, I think for my personal development, it'll be great. But what I love is the fact that I might learn some tools. Exactly. To be able to pass them on to other people.
Yeah. You must be being asked now. People must say, oh, Zoe, I want what she's having. You must get that sometimes.
Yeah, I do. I mean, people say to me now, oh God, you look so well. Yeah. I must have looked really awful before. Yeah, you look so well, you know? And I do think, I think there's other people out there that probably don't even realise how kind of inspiring it is to see all the other people and what they're doing but they're not drinking, because it's so ingrained in our society now, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's everywhere, but you just don't need it. You just don't need it. And it's not healthy. And it's like your book title, Janie, you know, I really feel now that I'm happy, healthy, sober.
Happy, healthy, sober. I was just going to end it on that punchy line and then you changed it.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'll let you off.
I did it for you. But no, that is true. That is like my little Bible. I go back to that a lot. And I think that just says it all.
Yeah. Well, it's fantastic to chat to you, Zoe. I love your positivity and just the more people we have just shining their light like that, it's all going to ripple out, isn't it? It definitely makes such a massive difference. If there'd been, you know, more of that around when I first needed to do this, I think it might have felt a bit easier, because I did really genuinely think that I was the only person, till I read Claire's book. I thought there was nobody else in the world who could possibly feel the way I did. I knew there were people who were absolutely at rock bottom, and thank God I wasn't there. And I knew I knew many people who seemed completely happy with the amount they were drinking. Of course, none of us will ever know how many of those were just like me, also waking up at 3 a.m. We'll never know. But the more of us that talk about it and shine a light on it, you know, and shine that positivity, the more it will grow even more. So thank you, Zoe. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for being part of our community. And thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you. Thank you for all your hard work. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Thanks, Janie. Bye.
Thank you, Zoe. Don't forget then, we have a few events. The Edinburgh meetup, May the 7th is Sober by the Sea. There's a Champneys coming up as well, just firming the next date up. And of course, you can follow me on social media if you're not already, at Janie Lee Grace. I'm always available to be messaged. Feel free to message me. If you're ditching the booze and you haven't told anyone, tell me. It's okay. Just tell me. You may not want to tell your nearest and dearest, but tell someone and get that support and that connection that we were talking about earlier. If you have any suggestions for me for great podcast guests for the future, please let me know. I love getting your suggestions, particularly if you can also hook me up with a person, even better. Obviously, I send out lots of requests, and I've got some fabulous people lined up for the podcast as well. So there's always lots. Just one other thing to mention is, in case I often forget to tell you, that we have some fabulous competitions. I'm with my other hat on. I have a site called imperfectlynatural.com where I promote and recommend, I suppose you'd say. I don't sell, I just recommend natural products and services. And I run what I call the Platinum Awards every year. So we try and recognize the best in holistic living and natural products. And of course, I've got a category for alcohol-free drinks as well. So if you're interested in alcohol-free drinks and holistic living generally, then pop over to imperfectlynatural.com and click on competitions. There's some amazing stuff to enter to try and win there. And, you've got to be in it to win it. It takes 30 seconds. So go and have a look. We've got some great prizes. We do have some alcohol-free drinks in there as competitions, but there's also some fabulous natural skincare as well. So go and have a look. There's some wonderful stuff from an amazing brand called Eos. natural skincare. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there as the entries start to come in for the awards. So yeah, have a look and make sure you stay connected. If you want to join us in the Sober Club, you know where to find us, thesoberclub.com. There is a small membership fee, but well, I would say that, wouldn't I? It's worth it. See you next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.